It's Andre, and you're listening to the Flight Test After Hour podcast. And no, I haven't commandeered the studio. In fact, I'm still in lovely Ottawa, but in studio this afternoon, we have Mike, Wayne, and of course, Chris.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks, Andre, for that introduction. We got another podcast coming at you. Man, we're excited. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, some review stuff. Tons of crash stories that we've read through, and we've got some good ones, so we're excited. We're going to get into it and get going. And first thing, got to thank the listeners out there. We appreciate everything you guys, the suggestions and everything you've been emailing me and the crash stories. Keep sending them in. I got tons of crash stories, so we're going to try to get through some of those today. And what else do we have? Mike's back in studio after a hiatus.
I'm glad.
Where have you been, Mike?
Yeah, it's nice seeing everyone.
What's
again.
Going on?
Do
we have to call you Andre? You've been ditching us.
Not deliberately, that's for sure. I think he does it deliberately. No, I've just been busy, actually, doing various things. I was on vacation a couple weeks
ago. Yeah.
That was the last time, or two times ago. And then the last time I had made other arrangements, and I don't want to discuss that because it's kind of a surprise party.
Gotcha.
So I had to make those arrangements, and that's why I missed the last time. So, but I'm glad to be back today. Can't wait to discuss some of these crash stories.
Yeah. It's I made it in studio. It was an interesting day. I'm working way out of town and was flying here and woofed down a Hardee's Diablo burger on the way.
Oh, my gosh. He's killing
and
us.
And I'm like, oh,
we could hear his stomach on the audio. So, you might want to turn your volumes down.
Hopefully I make it through the podcast okay, but we'll see how it goes. All right. Go ahead, Andre.
How about the weather?
Yes, the weather right now has been, well, today was good.
Yes.
It's been a little rough, windy and cold.
Weekend was windy.
But I was looking at the birds and looking in the sky a lot today at work, that's for sure. So, okay, couple things real quick, and then we'll jump right in and we'll get some crash stories. We'll see how my voice goes, how many I can read. We'll get through some, then maybe we'll switch gears and then maybe go back to the crash stories at the end, or we'll see where we get. First thing again, Flight Fest 2015. Get on there, get registered, get going, because that thing's filling up quick. Don't forget about it. Oh my gosh,
I
almost
can't
forgot
wait.
The dates.
July 11th, I think.
9th, 10th, and 11th, and 12th, right? I believe. Right, Andre? Sound
that,
right?
That weekend.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. 9th, 10th,
Friday,
11th.
Saturday, and Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. So go check out flightfest.com. All the information is on there.
Volunteer if you can.
Yeah, please volunteer. It's going to be so much fun. I just can't wait.
Yes, absolutely.
One other thing Austin wanted me to mention, too. The video podcast is on iTunes. They've been putting on the webisode series on iTunes, so you can get on iTunes and watch all the shows, so which is pretty cool, you know. All right, let's jump right into it. Let's get into some of these crash stories, and we'll go from there. Okay, first one, I got to apologize to Moet D. Wan. I think he sent in a few, but he sent one in and somehow either lost it or couldn't find it or erased it or whatever. So he sent it to me again. So I promised him I'd get it on the air and we'd read it. So here we go. Here's one of my amusing crash stories. Hope you enjoy it. I was out at the local park one Sunday morning, and it was not a proper flying field. Just a series of 3 cricket ovals and about 4 football fields, so it's nice big space. We usually get about a dozen or so guys turn up and do some flying. This particular day, I was out flying my Bixler version 1 trainer and also had brought my RC Powers F-18 version 2 jet that I had just scratch built. I spent a fair amount of time building the jet using Depron and painting it up in the Blue Angels theme. This thing was looking beautiful in the air. Anyway, I decided to warm up by flying my Bixler trainer. While flying, I had noticed that at times it was responding a little sluggishly to my control inputs. Still, I had a couple of decent flights and landed it safely. So now I decided it was time for the F-18. I launched it, and for about 30 seconds it was fine. Then all of a sudden it stopped responding to my control inputs. I was using a Turnagy 9X radio, which has no fail-safe. I immediately panicked. My favorite new plane was in the air and out of control. It felt like an eternity, but in reality, it was only for a second or two. The control started responding again. Great. Good. Okay. Now, let's get this thing on the ground. Pronto.
Yes.
I turned it around, brought it in for an approach, and that's when it happened. Locked out again. That dreaded feeling came back. The knot in my stomach. Immediate perspiration on my brow. A bitter taste of adrenaline. My F-18 immediately powered back up to mid-throttle and took off. This time, no reprieve. The controls would not come back. Now I'm really panicking. Who knows how far it would go? Who knows where it might stop? Will it hit a car in the parking lot? Could it hit a person? To my dismay, it headed toward the adjacent football field where there was a kids' rugby match underway. Oh, no, he says. Then, all of a sudden, the power cut out. I don't know how or what, but from what I could see, it surely had to be over the rugby game by now. The last thing I saw as it went behind the rise between the fields was it going nose down. I didn't see it hit. Now, in full panic mode, I ran as fast as I could toward the adjacent field where the game was being played. I still had the transmitter in my shaking hands. As I got closer, whew, he says, the game was at halftime and there was no one on the field and my plane had stopped. I quickly leaped over the railing at the side of the field and went out to look at my plane. It was in pieces. The nose was crumpled, the elevators torn off, hanging off the airframe and the push rods. The fuselage and wing were cracked in half. Even the carbon spars had shattered. It was beyond repair. I quickly gathered all the pieces, picked them up, took them back to the pit area. When I got up, I heard an applause and a great deal of hooting and hollering.
Oh, no.
I turned around and all the kids from the rugby match were cheering at me and having a great time. I felt the color rising, so I took a quick bow and beat a hasty retreat back to the flying field. Not only did I lose my new plane, but I was humiliated by a bunch of schoolboys. Oh, what a day. I got back to the pit area and determined that it was my transmitter's module that glitched out. It had been happening when I was flying the Bixler, but I didn't notice it because, you know, it just kind of glides around. Yeah, and it was enough time for it to recover. The F-18, on the other hand, was much quicker and was gone before the radio came back. Well, in the end, I was able to salvage all the electronics and now built many more scratch builds, but I haven't found the courage yet to build another F-18. Maybe soon. Regards.
It's a good change transmitter, too, I wonder.
That's pretty funny.
Doesn't that just figure, though? If you're going to have a big crash, there's going to be an audience.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
it could never happen out in the middle of a field where there's nothing around but a few crows.
Yeah.
No, there's always got to be a group of people.
Right. It's happened to us many times. Mm-hmm. I've told the story 100 times about Pat when we had 100 school kids him taking the T-28 through a chain link fence and turned it into a paper shredder, you know? I mean, it was unbelievable. Good story, though.
that was a good one. That was one of the better ones.
Still with us there, Andre?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me get my phone up here, and we'll get some more emails. Okay. The next one's going to be by Gunter Caden. Says, hey, After Hours crew, here's a crash story that will make you laugh. Last spring, I built an FT Flyer or 3. I got a little over anxious and forgot to buy my motor, ESC, prop, and battery. When that finally happened, I noticed that there were wrinkles in my wing. The only thing I could think that would happen was our pit bull stepped on it, and I figured it would be fine, so my brother and I decided to go fly. On takeoff, my brother's elevator was reversed. The prop on the nutball shredded my rudder. I finally got it in the air after a quick repair to the tail. The plane only flew left. After I got the plane on the ground, trimmed it out, decided to hand launch it. It went five feet and spiraled into the ground. I was devastated. I figured that the reason for my plane crashing was because a dog stepped on it and warped the wing. So I built another new FT Flyer, number 2, and invited some friends over to watch me fly the next morning. It was better than the first one. Note that if you fly at a farm and you own big gas tanks to fill your tractors, make sure you know where they are. I took off and accidentally stalled the plane. It flew straight into the tank. The plane exploded. Now, I hope it just exploded hitting the tank.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, I was back at the workbench to finish my last flyer. I finally got a lot of successful flights. Sorry if this was a bit long, Caden. So, it looks like he was just starting out there. Let's see. Next one's from Christopher, how do you say that? Roh? Roar? R-O-H-E. And he's from Germany. That's pretty cool. First of all, he said, I'd like to give a big shout out how much I love flight tests. It's very sad that we do not have anything similar here in Germany. I'm banging the refresh button on YouTube so hard that I make sure I don't miss an episode. I wish there was an affordable way to get your speed build kits to Germany, since there are some very fun-looking planes in your store. You should get a partner over here and reduce shipping costs. Okay, we'll make a note of that.
Yes.
I fell in love with the crash stories and decided to do my share. Because I'm into this hobby for some time with equal long breaks in between, there is more than one story that will hopefully make you smile at least. Read through them, as it will be an honor to hear one of them on the podcast. The first one he calls Dude, Where's My Car? He crosses out and puts plane, if you've ever seen that movie. Mm-hmm. All right. I came to the hobby through my dad, my uncle, and their friends. They started with sailplanes like the ASW-17. They get altitude by strapping a small 1.5 centimeter nitro engine on top of the COG with rubber bands, fixed throttle, and a small tank that will keep the engine running for 5 to 7 minutes. After that, we were able to catch thermals and lift and keep the planes in the air. Every now and then, my dad took me between his arms and let me fly. It was great. I got used to the hobby, and after some controlled runs, I had my first solo flight. The season went by, and I got more and more experience with the huge 4-meter wingspan, classic wood construction. So these guys are building these things.
These are serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 4 meters, and obviously back then, it's taken some serious time to build something like that. So keep that in mind. One day we were flying with 7 or 8 pilots at the same time. My dad gave me the transmitter so he could go leave for a quick cigarette break. He pointed on the one of the planes, and I took over control. I felt like the plane was flying a bit strange, but since my dad did not say a word about it, I thought I was unsure and kept flying. The plane was a little bit shaky, and the controls were delayed at some times. After a couple minutes, we decided to land the sailplanes because the wind was picking up, and it seemed to start raining. Even with the strange controls, I was able to land the plane without a crash and was proud, as it was the first time for me without the support of my dad. When every plane was back on the ground safe and all the pilots went to their planes to get everything together, I headed to my dad's plane, but one of the other guys was faster and started to disassemble the wings. That was the moment I realized that was not my plane. I flew someone else's plane for 10 minutes and even landed it. Unfortunately, my dad's plane was never seen again. We had no idea how far or in which direction it went.
That would just be the creepiest feeling ever.
You imagine?
Oh, no.
I mean, I've done
I've
that.
Missed for seconds, not 10 minutes.
Yeah, not, yeah. Yeah. Never 10 minutes.
Like when we had the radians up there, you might get mixed up orientation-wise.
Right. Or the one day we were at Chad's and you were flying the Ultra Micro or something, and you were looking at David's radian way up there, and you're like, wait, I don't have no control. We're like, Wayne, you're there. But for 10 minutes, and land, thinking, I did a great job. I landed it. Dad, you got to see this. I landed it.
I know. When I'm in question, I usually bank real hard one way just to figure it out, but. Wow.
Oh, man.
I did read through that. That was funny.
He's got a couple more here. The other one he calls the spinning sharp thing of pain and punishment. After some years struggling with these boring things like school, my parents decided to clean up their basement. And there they appeared again, the old ASW-17s of my dad and my uncle. I decided to get back in the hobby and reactivate them. I started with a small 2.7-meter ASW-17, grabbed some new servos, batteries, fresh fuel, and spare parts from the hobby shop. The plane and the wings were in great shape, only the covering became wrinkled. So that was also a quick fix with a hairdryer. Because I didn't want to crash the plane on the first flight after a long break, bad experiences were made in the past, I asked my dad to make the ASW so it would be his fault.
He's smart.
Yeah.
There you go.
We filled the small tank with fuel, started the gas engine, and I prepared to hand-launch the baby. My dad took the last check of the control surface and pointed me to get ready. There, I realized that the canopy was not secured correctly. With the engine running, I reached around the propeller circle to lock the canopy. But when I pulled back my hand, I forgot about the fast spinning sharp thing and felt a major hit on my pinky. I looked at my dad, who didn't recognize the last part, and threw the plane into the wind. My heart was pounding, adrenaline level over 9,000, until I was already feeling the warm blood on my hand. Thankfully, it was just a big cut in the fingertip, which had to be sewn up with some stitches.
It'll get
okay,
you.
On to number 3. How to convert a plane into confetti. Yeah. This ought to be good. These stories are pretty much the same. I became used to building my planes out of Depron. According to the motto, if the engine is strong enough, anything will fly. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I didn't care much about the aerodynamics and precise builds. Flying was the most important. And while my dad was flying in big circles with lots of space to correct a mistake, I was flying fast and low and inverted and everything combined. Until the point when one of these fast-growing jumping trees decided to become a jerk of the day. Plane enters tree, confetti leaves tree, electronic stuck in tree. But $10 for foam and some evenings after school, then the plane was ready to go. Okay, last but not least, it says Pumas are not made to fly. I was working for a neighbors and friends during my studies, lawn mowing, cutting down trees, mauling wood, painting sheds, the usual things. One of them gifted me an old Roby Puma 40. Time to build something new, I thought. I riffed through the box, found an old unused OS Max gas engine, which was way, way too big. But if the engine is big enough, as he was talking earlier. So it just took me a couple evenings to finish the kit since it was well prepared. I came into a hurry because the weather became good for a couple days in the spring of 2014. I wanted to maiden this beast so bad. I was lucky to catch one of the last nice days in this period and ended to the fields we usually fly. The engine started almost instantly, which is not that common on these little two-stroke nitro engines. The last quick check on the rudders, and there it was. The moment of insecurity before the maiden. Everybody has that feeling, I know. But no time, I think my dad let the plane go. I raised the throttle in anticipation, and the plane would take off immediately. But it took several meters until the Puma finally got airborne. The controls were nice, some expo, a little bit of trimming. Pretty unexpected when I look back at my other maiden flights. But then something went wrong, terribly wrong. After a turn, I lost control of the ailerons. The plane was acting very strange, and I realized one of the rudders was gone. The built-in gyro kept the plane from falling out of the skies, but when the plane passed by, the second aileron became loose, fluttering some seconds, just hanging on the control rod before sailing down to earth. And that was the moment I realized what I had done. In my hurry, I totally forgot that all control surfaces are not glued in. I just pushed the hinges into the balsa for a test fit that evening before. Mm. But since it was late on Saturday evening with a handful of beer too much on Friday evening, I did not glue the hinges on Sunday. Oh. Panic kicked in. I had to land the acro plane without ailerons, which can lose elevator or rudder at any second, and there goes my elevator.
Yep. Oh, man.
The plane came down at about a 50-meter height and parabolic curve, which ended in 90 degrees into the ground. Needless to say that we need a shovel to get the engine back. Unfortunately, I have no footage with these crashes since I was too young. Smartphones have not been invented or distracted to think about, but with my SJ400 and GoPro, there will be documentation on my upcoming experiences. Best regards, Christopher. That's some good stories.
You know,
well done.
Yeah, friction fitting the control totally isn't going to hold.
The cool part about all this, he's still flying. He didn't give up. So all right.
Yeah.
Way to go, Christopher.
His shovel. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Onward and upward. Here we go. This next one's from Greg. Just wanted to share a crash story with you guys. I listened to your podcast religiously and thought I would contribute with my little story and generate some laughs, as well as possibly provide a pretty good tree recovery solution. I'm a pretty accomplished 250 quad FPV pilot. I enjoy it immensely and very proud of my clean build, programmability, and flying. A couple months ago, my buddy and I came across a guy on YouTube that does some pretty amazing long-range fixed-wing FPV flying. After a couple beers, we were online purchasing... buying the long list of things we would need to go fly long-range FPV.
There's your first
After
mistake.
Watching the YouTube video, we're in, buddy. Let's go. Yeah. You know?
It sounds like one of my harebrained ideas.
We settled on a Ranger EX for the platform and the Vector for our flight controller, OSD, and completely built out of pretty significant ground stations. Weeks later, as we got closer to completing our builds, I had an infancy.
Epiphany.
Thank you, Wayne. We could even fly fixed wing? Nonetheless, fly long range. We had dropped considerable cash on these things, and we're now terrified that they could be lost in an instant. That's
this
one.
This is not the time to think this
right
before you order it.
Right, and it just reminds me before we continue on that, you know, I was always intrigued in the long range stuff until Chad lost that wing time.
Yeah, Maxie Swift.
You know,
I brought that up with him the last time.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you just
got
turning
up there
that
above
knife
the clouds.
Right
yeah, and he never did find
he
it.
He did have another one. I'm like, I thought you lost. He's like, yeah, you're right.
Yep.
This was my second one.
After that, boy, I was on the fence of spending that kind of money. Okay. As we sat here contemplating on how to gain confidence with the fixed wing, we remembered a video of the Stone Blue Airline guys flying what seemed to be their virtually indestructible Spark V2. I was immediately online ordering it for us. These guys are great.
Oh, man.
To expedite, we opted for the SBA custom build so that it would come with us already built and ready to go and be sure that any failure would be completely our fault and not the build error. On to the crash story. As soon as it came in the mail, we immediately installed the receiver and took it out to our flying spot. We took turns flying line of sight and gaining confidence, concentrating on our nose-in flying skills, which just happens to be my weakness. Went through about 3 batteries doing left and right-hand circuits and decided to do just one more, the one last one.
Yes.
As it was coming back towards me, I forgot that I was close to the tree line behind us and put the Spark into a 40-foot tree. It looked not to be stuck so bad, and we were confident that it would not be a problem getting it down. We immediately drove back to the house, grabbed a ladder, anything else we would need in our recovery effort. Fast forward 2 hours.
Yeah.
After hours of rock throwing, stick throwing, ladder climbing, long stick taping, we were able to throw some weighted 550 cord across a limb that was close to our stuck plane. Little did we know that this was just the beginning of the pain. Fast forward another 2 hours. We continued to pull on opposite ends of the cord for another 2 hours until we were completely exhausted. Every muscle in my body was aching and done. We even hooked up the cord to my Jeep as a last-minute effort as the sun was about to set, and it just snapped the line. Ultimately, we left the site completely defeated and exhausted. We were out of ideas. That night, I had a vision and immediately texted my buddy to meet me outside the next morning so that we could go to our local sporting goods store. We picked up about a $20 kitty bow and arrow and some 40-pound test fishing line and headed out to the crash site. After about an hour of perfecting our bow skills...
That would have been fun to watch.
Yeah. We were able to successfully target the right branch, fishing line tied to the arrow, and hoist up the 550 cord. And after about 5 minutes of yanking on the branch, it fell softly to the ground. Success. You know, I would like to see driving by and see two adults out there with a kitty bow practicing.
Oh, Cupid.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had suction cups on the end trying to suck the plane out of the tree.
Oh, my gosh. All right. It says, follow on story. After repairing our Spark, I decided to put some FPV gear on. I knew that being the accomplished FPV quad pilot, fixed wing FPV should be easy. I put it up with ease and went under the goggles and had a terrifying thought. As I was flying, I didn't know where the heck I was, and now feared that I would lose my reference and lose the plane completely. Mm-hmm. In that freakout mode, I circled to see if I could see myself in the goggles and establish a location of reference. During my valiant effort, I put the Spark into the ground somewhere.
Oh, no.
Since my buddy was not there with me, I did not know how or would explain the loss of our plane because we both paid for it. Luckily, Matt from SBA painted our tail bright yellow, so between knowing what direction to walk from the last sound of the motor and the bright tail, I found it about 300 yards out in a clearing. After learning my FPV lesson, I decided to put it back up one more time. Here we go. Always that one more time. All right, one more time, line of sight, and consequently put it up 40 feet in a tree, shearing off one wing. Knowing the pain of an already experienced recovery effort, I just got in my Jeep and drove home. I went home, didn't say anything to anyone, mowed my yard, cleaned my garage, sat down on my couch. 3 hours later, decided to go back with my trusty bow and arrow to see if I could maybe do it myself. With the help of God, the spark came down with the first bow shot into the tree.
Oh, he perfected his technique on the last time. He probably had sights on that sucker now.
To close out the crash story, I wanted to share three lessons that I learned from this horrible weekend. One, never fly near trees. Two, never fly FPV without a spotter, especially in unfamiliar territory. Mm-hmm. Three, always keep a $20 bow and arrow with fishing line in your car. Yeah, that was funny. And he says, currently, we still continue to try and gain confidence in our fixed wing skills. Our Ranger EX are fully complete with ground stations and still without a maiden flight date. I attached some pretty good pictures of my ground aircraft. My buddy has one identical. I just finished a new spark build, and I am installing a NAS 32 flight controller on it so that we can have some stabilization and effort to raise our skill and confidence. I will make sure I send you the results of our Ranger EX maiden. Hopefully it's not a crash story. Yes. Thanks, Greg.
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful plane.
Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
That
yeah,
is a nice looking plane.
It is
plane.
A really nice looking mm-hmm. airplane. That's so funny. It just blows me away because no matter how many times we go over and over mm-hmm. like these stories, it's always the same thing. Yes. Like the mindset never changes.
One more time.
One more time or, oh, this will be easy.
Yeah.
You know?
What could go wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong? Yeah. Yay, I can fly it. You know, I can fly a quad FPV, no problem.
Or you're flying it and then something happens, but then it straightens out and, oh, it's okay now.
Yeah, I'm
no,
good to
no,
go.
No,
get
wait
it back right now.
If something bad happens, you better
hurry
up and get it on the ground and look.
Right. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll try to get through a couple more and then we'll switch gears for a little bit and then we'll finish
out. I could probably
out.
Discuss some of the projects I was working on.
Yeah, we can do
right
that.
Too.
Yeah. All right, let's do a couple more. This one's from RC Mania 7. Hi, everyone. This is Ethan from Australia. Man, we got a lot of people from Australia. Oh, I love it.
Hey, mate.
Hi, everyone. This is Ethan from Australia. Love the show. Okay, I'll get on with my story. I spent all of my pocket and Christmas money on a new Kinetic 815. This was my second plane after the micro stick I picked up from the HK warehouse. Got it home. I was so excited. I put it together, checked all the services, looked good. This was before the beginner series, so I didn't know about dual rates and expo. So the next day I went to the house next door to get my dad to throw it softly down the hill so I could glide it with a small amount of power. But it shot straight up. I panicked, and it turned straight towards a tree. I panicked some more, cut the throttle, and it tip stalled and went straight into the ground and smashed the nose. Back to the wing level. Ooh. Oh, back to the wing level, snapped the tail and destroyed the motor mount and nose cone. I took it home in almost tears. I fixed it and this time took it out at my local club and got the president to take it up for me. And he also took up my 60 size trainer for me with the ailerons reversed.
Mm.
But anyway, he gave me the controls and it flew perfectly. This was after I could fly the bonsai wing and the president asked me if I would like to land. I said yes, thinking, oh, well, it doesn't have wheels. It came down the strip very well and came close to the ground, and a crosswind hit me and snapped the tail. Again, I took it home and reinforced it with carbon the next Sunday. The next Sunday, I took it out again. This time, I took off, and I went to throw it with the motor mount. The motor mount came free, and it wobbled everywhere, obviously because I didn't check my crap. I took it back to the bench, fixed it, and up again I went. It was pulling down lots and left the throttle on full, which was stupid, and I tried to trim it out, and it went straight out of sight. I turned around, imagining I was flying FPV with the blue screen. I don't have FPV, but I would love to, so I don't have the money. It came back into sight, but after it was behind a tree, I pulled up and got above the trees, and I thought I was inverted. I hit the full up, bad choice, and went straight into the tree. It powered straight through the tree and into the dirt. A tree on the ground, and the battery caught on fire. Oh, man. I thought as I took the walk of shame, luckily it wasn't, but the wing was snapped, and the nose crushed, and the tail snapped, and the battery was 10 meters away. I came back and shoved it in my car. The club president must be very confident with me because after about 5 minutes, he asked me to fly his World War I Grasshopper. I was just cruising around, and then I accidentally did a touch-and-go on the top of a huge sailplane. Oh my gosh. Bad day. The Kinetic is ugly, but it will fly again.
Oh no.
Sorry, it had some funny spelling in there. He says sorry with a strange spelling. We'll
keep on hammering, that's right.
Yep. All right.
People have those days.
Oh, boy.
One more.
And Chad told me when you have a bad day, just quit.
Yeah, usually.
it doesn't get any better.
Yeah,
typically.
That's happened to me. I've crashed one and thought, you know what? Well, let's go. And it just gets worse.
It does, yeah. You might as well call it a day if you're having one of those.
Let's see. This is from BZ Bat or Bait, BATTE. I've been flying Davis Tricopter V3 for a few months now and got myself some FPV gear for a few weeks. This was my fourth day that I could be flying FPV. I took a friend with me, enticing him with the idea of wearing my goggles as I took him for a ride. After I had him look through the goggles for a few minutes, I burned a battery FPV with little excitement. I fly in a very open area of the undeveloped land. Excuse me. There are some decorative trees along an unfinished and untraveled road, and I decided to make some slow flights through them. Oh, did I mention there was some water on the side of the road? Mm-hmm. So I was aiming for one of the gaps in the trees with a slight embankment and the water on the other side. Through the super low res Attitude V3s, I remember seeing the tree branch and just thinking, I'm going to hit it. I hit it with the left boom and saw the white of the sky and then the green of the grass. There was a static mixed with more green and then just static. Before I pulled my goggles, I knew it was in the water. My friend and I rushed over to the water just 50 feet from where we were. The tricopter was submerged in about 6 inches of water, just a foot from the edge. The water was murky and had a thin layer of slime on top. Through all this, I could see that the KK2 board was still powered up, along with the red light on my video transmitter. Hopefully the transmitter still works, and I only lost the video feed because the transmitter was behind the embankment and submerged in water. The other thing I noticed was the ESCs. One of them was on fire and hissing underwater. I paused for a moment, not knowing if I should leave it, or hopefully it would extinguish itself, but then I realized my GoPro was down there too. I stepped into the water and pulled it out, still on fire. I unplugged the battery, but the fire persisted, so I was forced to dunk one boom back into the water. With the fire out, I saw that the GoPro was still on, but was showing an SD error. This was a point where I got sad. I finally crashed, and I might not be able to revive it. The ESCs are cooked. All the other electronics are in rice. Hopefully, some will be salvageable for other projects. The frame only suffered damage to the battery tray where it connects to the body. I still have hope that the SD card will be readable. If it is, I'll send you the video. Time to price out some new electronics.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll take a little break from there. So, Mike, what have you been up to? Go ahead.
Well, after the Toledo show, I was kind of disappointed I didn't purchase anything at the show. I was kind of happy, but at the same time sad, so... Uh-huh. I was hanging out with Chad that evening, and I'm like, you know what? I like those 250 size quads. And he showed me what Dave had built for him, and I'm like, you mind if I mirror all those electronics, get that order going? So I ordered all the electronics to mirror their 250 size quad, and he gave me a frame. That's what kind of speared it off. He gave me a frame. He's like, you can have this. And actually, he was going to give me one that was damaged. They wrecked a ton of times, had mud, and we were like digging the mud out of the motors.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's like, actually, this one flies better. He fixed something on it, and after he got it, he's like, this one flies better than the nice-looking one. He didn't want to part with it because he was going to give me that one.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I don't care if it's muddy or whatever. And he ended up getting it rebuilt, and he's like, you know what? I can't part with this. I'm like, that's all right. I'll just order the electronics, build my own. I'm not going to – I mean, it's yours, Chad, for crying out loud. Keep it if you love the flight carrier.
Right.
I said, it's your quad. Just keep it. I don't have, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
So then I ordered all the electronics. I'm like, I'll build another one, and got all that in. And then this is the first time I ever messed with a KK2 board, and it was pretty simple. I was kind of – pleased with that, and I think it was down to $19. Now Chad's like, when they first bought a control board like that, it was like, I think around 50.
Right,
so they've come down.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
significantly.
Oh yeah,
he was surprised how cheap that was.
It seems like every 6 months, every not only the KK2, but everything seems like it just gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
So the following weekend, we spent an evening, and I was building at his place, and we didn't get it done. It was getting late, and we were both tired. It was like 1 a.m. The girls were at cards, and. So then I think that evening, though, I had my H quad going. I'm like, I need – something's going on. The gains were still too high because it was still oscillating. Mm-hmm. We dialed that down. But I also wanted help with the failsafe. I'm like, you know, I lost one completely. Is there any way we can figure out this failsafe so it can return to home? Yeah. So we did that. And then I think the next day or whatever, I'm like, I'm going to test it. So I got it off a ways, and then I hit the controls to put it in failsafe, and it did. It came right back to where, I mean, it worked like it's supposed to, and I just never took the time to learn how to set it up or anything on the prior one I lost. So I was tickled to get that achieved on my H-Quad, and plus I got a lot of stabilization, made for nice video with a Mobius camera.
Right, right.
And then, so I finally get the 250, and he built one in one night, and I'm like, I'm so envious. And he's like, well, it doesn't look as nice as yours, but I'm like, yeah, but you got it running and all set up in one. I'm not that quick. So we ended up, one evening, we were following each other and stuff, and I had a blast with it. I had the 250 and the H-Quad running. I did some video with him. He nicked me a little bit with my video. I got that recorded. And luckily, there was no damage. I'm surprised because with those rotor spin, I'm like, I couldn't even find where it hit on my copter. We heard it, but we couldn't find any damage. And he's like, we're fine. Keep flying. I'm like, all right. We never even brought him down after gliding like that. And then he did some things. Like, he wanted me to get film of him, like, doing a flip midair flip. I just couldn't keep him in frame. Mm-hmm. And then, but I did follow him. He did a pass under the trampoline, which was cool. Then he went through the swing set, which was cool, and I got video on my Mobius with that. So some interesting stuff we downloaded and looked over. It was getting so dark, I didn't realize with my goggles on how it enhances the light. We took our goggles off at the same time. Whoa, it's really dark. We couldn't believe that our cameras were enhancing the light so much in the evening, the late evening like that. So that was kind of new to me. So, but we had a great time. I'm definitely exposing myself to the FPV quad realm more.
It's
so
kind
now.
Of addicting. It really is.
And I was really hoping to get you out guys out there Sunday evening, but it ended up, it was horribly windy, and I ended up doing yard work. It was cold too, it's the wind that I was like, there's just no way we're going to have fun if I call you guys up and try to meet out at Chad's.
Yeah,
because I really wanted to do that, but
right.
And what else did I do? So I did just setting those two quads, getting my quads dialed in. And I ended up dialing my 250. There was, I think, Lumiere, their website.
Mm-hmm.
They had an instruction on where to kind of set the gains with the different things, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then you're always wondering, well, do I trust this source? I mean, at least this is going in the back of my head. And I got it flyworthy, but there was still a lot of shakiness. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Chad, do you care if I run over and copy the gains that the Swede set up?
Yeah.
He knows gains.
Right.
So I mirrored it exactly, and it flew great. I'm like, oh, man. I said, that Swede seems to know a thing or two about gains and quitting copters. So.
That's for sure. But, he does.
So I got another smooth running quad out of that. So I'm very excited about those, and I'm eager to fly some more now.
Yeah, Wayne, I've been talking. Actually, he's working on he's got a hex just about ready to go. We did some changes. We're going to put some different motors and ESCs.
You guys messing with gimbals? Because that's the only thing.
No gimbals. We're going to put a board camera on it.
That's going to be my next enticing thing, I think, is getting a gimbal of some sort.
So Wayne will have one going.
You said?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even see your tricot, your bone. I never saw that.
The bat bones?
Bat bone. You said that was ages ago. Yeah. I saw the images of that. I'd like to see. Is it still flyworthy and everything?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Yep. I can't wait. Attention from my neighbors when I fly out front. So.
I bet.
Cars happen to stop, and especially if you're cruising around at nighttime.
So. It looked like the lighting on it was spectacular. You put some time in on that, I think, when I saw it.
Yeah.
It does like a Night Rider thing. Yep. I saw the sequencing. That was pretty cool.
That thing does look cool at night.
I just have green and red on mine, green just for orientation purposes. Yep. So.
Go ahead, Andre.
I killed my, the winter quad.
I seen the Instagram pictures.
Mm. Yeah, that was good. I only kicked myself for not having the camera rolling when it went down because it was fun.
What happened?
So I lost a prop. It just spun. I think the wind was so much that they weren't counter-rotating props, right? The collet adapters.
Uh-huh.
So we lost one, but we were way up high. So James and I went out, and we had the flower bomb, and then we had the candy dropper with the little parachute guys in there. And I got one video of him, and he is giggling his heart out, right? And it's like, bombs away. And so the second run, of course, I'm like, we're going to go forward, and I'm going to be high. And I'm up there, and the wind is buffing the thing around for all it's worth, and it's shaking away. And all of a sudden, it just goes whoosh, and I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, drop everything, saying, bail out. So James releases the bomb, releases the parachute guys. I mean, that's how high it was up. And it just hit the ground. Pop.
I seen that. Pictures.
So it, the plastic. Actually, I broke a couple props and the plastic case. Mm-hmm. Everything else is fine. You know, the booms and everything. So the ground was still a little soft.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But
that was interesting.
At least James thought it was funny.
Was this a quad? I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's the winter. That's wobble. The shaky. That's the. Oh parts the
my
shaky
gosh!
Wheel.
That thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Now. Oh my
god. So the evolution the was the winter quad with the plastic shoe box, right?
So. That cracks me up, man. I just never will forget that thing like this. It looked like that bridge it oscillates that everyone sees on YouTube on YouTube goes viral.
That thing is funny looking. I've first seen that video.
Suspension
I was,
bridge.
Yeah.
Cars flopping around on the roadway. Oh man!
So I have to. I've been stealing parts off it to get other things going, but eventually I have to do another bomb.
I'm sorry.
Bomb device.
I'm
no, no, it's good.
Comical.
It was, and I kicked myself for having a video of the thing crashing.
Oh man, I'd have loved to have seen that.
Oh jeez.
James was laughing. He's like, "What do I do?" I'm like,
"Bail,
bail, bail!" Guys, out of the plane. It's going down.
Hit the deck.
Oh, that's funny.
That was good.
Oh, man, my eyes are watering. Oh, jeez, that whiz.
I can't contain my laughter. So.
All right. Anything else, anybody? We'll jump into some other topics here. You done, Mike? Got anything else? Are you good?
I'm sure I do. I may think of it later and interrupt then. But.
All right. Now we're going to jump into a couple of our big topics here. And I really didn't think much about this, but, I know Facebook, basically my Twitter kind of blew up. These two companies, kind of went back and forth, and it really was a big, big deal. And we're going to talk about the new Phantom 3, and we're going to talk about the new 3DR Robotics Solo Quads. And a lot of hype about this. Mm-hmm. I've watched tons of videos, did some research on them, tried to find as much information as I could, and they're pretty intriguing. But it's kind of crazy. We've all talked about how we kind of go through different phases in RC and everything. And I've kind of jumped in a little bit, really hanging around Wayne is an inspiration. And like Dave Knopp, Michael Kahneman, Chad, Dave Knopp, all those guys. Like, I don't think I had any kind of creativity at all. Looking back, but hanging out with all these guys, and especially with Wayne and watching it, seeing his photography and the things he's doing and how he sets up and what he looks for, and hanging around the flight test guys and the edit guys, it's very intriguing to me. So, and seeing some of the stuff Eric Monroe's done, and we thought we'd kind of maybe ramp up the FT After Hours Instagram stuff and pictures and stuff. So I ended up buying a camera quad. And we've been playing around with it. And I definitely realize it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And I think you might have, seen the same thing. But it's fun. I'm very intrigued with it. Yeah. Watching the videos. And we're trying, to do some different shots. Not the same stuff you see all the time or whatever. But, we're just trying some different things. So we're having a lot of fun with it. So definitely when the Phantom 3 and the Solo come out, it sparked my interest. So it's such kind of a big deal and the hot topic right now. We just thought maybe we'd go through them and discuss them and see what we like, what we don't like, and anything like that. So jump in there if you got questions, concerns, problems, whatever. Jump in there and we'll discuss it. So I think we'll start with the Phantom 3. It was released, I think, a couple weeks ago or so.
I think this looks awesome, personally. I won't give you all my feedback yet, but go ahead.
The funny thing was I actually looked at the Phantom, and I was a little put off. Now, not the new Phantom 3, because when I bought mine, the Phantom 3 wasn't out. I was looking at the Vision Air, and I thought it was a little pricey. I looked at it, and I was a little concerned about their firmware, and especially where we fly, was I going to have problems? So I ended up buying the Blade 350 QX. Not that I've had any problems with it so far. It's been very reliable.
I know in Dave's review, he said maintaining it could be tricky with the frame and stuff. Is that true? Did you have to get in there like he did at all or not?
It's kind of the same platform, but I have a version 3. The one David reviewed was a version 1.
Okay.
So it does have a lot of different features, updated firmware, different AP mode. Everything's changed.
So they did enhance the one then?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's completely kind of changed. Got it. Has its own camera now, HD camera built in. And I have no problems with it. I got it at a really good deal. But in my head, I thought there were certain things I didn't like about it, you know, that I thought could be improved. Well, fast forward when the Phantom 3 come out, everything that I envisioned I wanted to fly and things I wanted it to do, the Phantom 3 now has it.
That's how it works.
Right. So let's just jump into the Phantom 3, and we'll talk about it a little bit. They got two versions out.
What is the price point on the Blade, just out of curiosity? Not the what you the deal you got, but what
I
they
think
have
retail.
Online.
I think retail is right around $1,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. Which I didn't pay that for that. I got.
I understand, but when you're looking at the 3, it's not that. It's what, 300 more maybe than 1300 was the price point
for the 3? Actually, no. You can get if you're looking on the same level and you're just getting regular, you know, 1080 HD. It's the same price. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Get your heart out.
Yeah. Right. Back. Where if you want to step it up, they got the two versions out. They have the professional version and the advanced. The professional version shoots 4K. And really, the only difference I found between the two was obviously the 4K to the 1080, and the professional version has a bigger charger. It's got a 100-watt charger instead of the 57-watt charger with the van. Other than that, everything I read and could find, they're basically identical.
Wow.
So jumping in, they completely change their cameras all around. Now, one thing I don't like about the GoPro – And we'll talk about the Solo later because that's what the camera it's using is kind of the big fisheye lens, and you kind of got to do a lot of work to it to get that out of there when you're filming everything. So a lot of the other Phantoms kind of had the same problem. So they got all new cameras on there and changed it to down to like a 94-degree field of view, and they took that round fisheye view out of there. So that was one of their big things. The other thing that really blows my mind with a Phantom 3, and I it's hard to grasp that you could actually fly it that far, is according to all their specs, if you're in clear open space and it's, you know, there's no noise or anything around, this thing's good for 1.2 miles.
I saw that.
I don't think I would ever
no.
think about flying it
a
that
quad
far.
Especially, you know,
yeah.
I mean, a glide plane or something.
Right. Comes with the controller it comes with is really nice looking, 600 milliamp 2-cell battery. The cool thing about it now, also they changed, is it shoots live HD video stream using their DJI Lightbridge technology. So what you're seeing basically through the camera, you're getting the live HD version coming through that whatever device you're using, phone, iPad, or whatever.
Can it work with goggles by any? I don't know.
I
didn't see
think
where
so.
These things work
I don't
goggles.
Think they work with the goggles. No.
Just trying to think of sunlight and stuff. I'm surprised everything's going to the tab, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I've
on
seen
the
people
camera
struggle with iPads
I agree.
And different things.
I agree.
Sunlight
and that's something we faced a little bit flying, you know, the 350 was I had a little bit of difficulty.
I didn't want to break.
Yeah. No, no, that's
a point.
Great question.
They didn't cover on these
if,
things, but
if it does, I'm not fully aware of it, and that could be an option down the road to where you know I know the controllers actually have a USB output and an HDMI output. Now I know with the Solo
they're
for
more
sure,
open forum, they might treat it more so than the Phantom.
I know, and we'll talk about when we get into the Solo, but you can run an HDMI cord out of the controller to any other device. Mm-hmm. So
with the Solo, yeah that's right. What I was getting out of that too.
The thing that really I like about the Phantom 3 is their pilot app that they come out with. Now, this thing is fantastic. And, again, it's everything I kind of wanted in the app on the Blade that it doesn't have. And I talked to the guys at Horizon about it when we were at the show. I says, hey, is there more development going into this thing? What's going on? He says, well, we really don't know because the app they're using is off of the Unique flying platform, and it's their camera and their app and everything, he says, so I don't really know what's you know down the road for them. Hopefully they would develop it and it gets better. But anyway, for the Phantom 3 in the app, it has a quick video editor. You can shoot a small video and edit it right there, shoot it out to any social media, whatever you want.
YouTube live stream.
Yes, that to me is fantastic. I mean, literally you could be flying. Say you got relatives in Florida like I do, Mike, and you're like, hey, I'm over at this beautiful place and we're flying around. The kids are playing on the playground. Check it out. Mm-hmm. And they're watching as you're, you know, cruising around, taking this beautiful 4K you know, recording, and they're watching it live through YouTube. I think that's phenomenal. That's, to me, a big selling thing. The other cool thing is full camera control. You know, you can pan, tilt, change your camera settings, all this, a lot of stuff I don't understand, Wayne, like your f-stop and all that other garbage that you would have to explain to me. Everything's controllable through that app. They're claiming it only has about a 220 millisecond delay on the Wi-Fi, which is pretty darn good, really. Let's see. It shows your satellite, how many numbers of satellites you're picking up, and it lets you know, if you have enough, it's safe to fly. It shows your radio, not only your radio strength, but it also shows your live stream feed strength right on the app. So if you're getting a little interference or you got some problems, you know it right away.
Before
it's not like
it goes
exactly.
out.
It's not like you got that thing way out and you don't know which direction it's going, and then boom, you lose your feed.
That's a lot of money to be up there and all of a sudden lose your feed. So
the other great thing, and one of the huge things I wish that the Blade had, is it has your battery percentage right on the screen. So you know right away you're flying out. Hey, I'm at 60% battery. I better turn around. You know, that was a great thing. Yeah, you can have a sheet of paper. Sure. Hang on.
And pretty impressive flight times to boot.
Yeah, the flight times, they were
23
minutes, which, you know, I was thinking, okay, buy an extra battery. Mm-hmm. You know, that's 40 minutes of flight time.
Did they have a fast charger, too, or something? I saw one of them. I don't know which one.
I don't know exactly how fast they charge a battery, but it's a 4-cell for sure, which I'll talk about here in a minute, and it's a 100-watt charger for the professional. So I'm still guessing it's probably going to take you an hour to charge a battery. The app also has right on the app itself, as you're looking through your device, I said the camera settings, you can take off and land it right from the app. The other cool thing that I like, again, if you are kind of flying around or looking to where what you're filming, you have the live, like, Google Earth map, and it shows the direction and where you're at to home base, which I thought was great. Full flight telemetry, you know, your speed, altitude, I think it even might have VSI on. I'm not real sure. I was looking through it a little bit, but it has everything on there, where you're going, you know, height. So that's great. Also has a built-in flight simulator.
Yes, the simulator.
If you want to practice with it. And the other cool thing I really like.
The weather sucks.
yeah, exactly. It has a flight log that logs all your information through that flight. So, you know, just the app alone for that, to me, I thought was amazing.
Is this the one that followed in orbit, or is that the Solo?
No, that's the Solo.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm trying to remember.
I'm trying to think what else here. Okay, well, the other thing that they added, and this is kind of like the Inspire that they put. Again, another thing I really like. If you're indoors or you're somewhere where you don't need the GPS or you're flying real low to the ground, they incorporated the Vision positioning system. It's for indoors, low to the ground. It's an ultrasonic sensor. And according to their specs, it's good from 30 to 300 centimeters for your altitude and your range, and that's about 11 inches to 118 inches. That's where it works best, which is great. A little bit of the specs. It is a 4,480 milliamp 4-cell, 15.2 volts. It has a new intelligent battery on it. It's got built-in sensors that does display its status in real time, like we talked about on the app. And, again, they are claiming around 23 minutes of flight time. I think that's pretty good. We were getting 10 to 12, I think, out of the Blade, roughly.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing, they did fully open it up. It's a fully open platform now for development. So if there's other things that people can develop, you know, like Follow Me apps or other things, now it's completely open. So down the road, who knows what they're going to get or what we're going to see. Couple other of the specs. Again, we talked about the professional version is a 100-watt charger. The Advanced has a 57-watt charger. Maximum ascent speed is about 11 miles an hour, or they put it in 5 meters a second. Descent's about 6.71 miles an hour, or 3 meters a second. The only thing that I was a little shocked about was the speed. I guess it's pretty good, but they're saying around 35 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, if yeah. you when you see a Phantom, they're not really that big. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty small quad.
Well, you're not going to go out and race this thing either.
No, no, absolutely not. No, that's not what it's built for. But my thinking was, if you're in a little bit of wind, you know, if say you're going downwind, you got 23 minutes and you're good for 1.2 miles at 35 miles an hour, you're not going to get too far. You know what I mean? You got to keep a sharp eye on this thing. You know, you're going downwind, then you got to come back in the wind.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be careful. The other thing that kind of blew me away is the maximum altitude above sea level was 19,685 feet or 6,000 meters.
Mm.
And the professional version rolls in at $1,259, mm-hmm. and that's for the full-on, you know, 4K camera in the bigger charger. Or you can go with the advanced version. It still has got the 1080 HD camera for $999. And to me, that... it's a phenomenal value for what you're getting. All that technology.
I thought it was pretty good on all that.
So, what do you guys think? Feedback. Let me know.
I want to buy one. I'll be honest.
Mike's going to leave here today.
Yeah, so yeah, Mike. Mike, you going to go check your bank card again?
Do they have that at Aerotech?
Yeah,
I'll
call them and tell them to hold one for you. You'll be down in 15 minutes.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to pull the trigger that quick this time.
Okay, Andre, Mr. Home Builder, you know, finding whatever, you know. What do you think?
You know, if I had a professional reason to own one mm-hmm. and use one,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I know, like, you know, the Inspire is like the cat's meow, but if I had a need for a robust, you know, platform that wasn't, you know, like built like my APM project, uh-huh. I think it's the right price with the right features, right? And you know the product works.
Yeah.
They've done their homework. I mean, you know, for 20, you know, in the air for 20 minutes with all the transmission capabilities mm-hmm. and the quality of the capture, like it's a whole new camera. Now it's only a two-axis gimbal, and that's the difference between the Phantom 3 and the Inspire.
No, I think it's a full three-axis gimbal.
Oh, okay.
Let me check, but I'm.
I thought that was the difference between the two of them, really. You know, and you know, it's one of those things where you know, technology. You know, we see when the guys were doing the reviews on the other video talking about it. A lot of the technology that came out brand new in the Inspire is being pushed down into the Phantom 3, but there's obviously a quality difference between the two crafts, you know, mm-hmm. or a functionality difference. But I thought it was a two gimbal two-axis gimbal.
They're saying
three-axis.
Yes, three-axis. When paired with DJI's industry-leading gimbal stabilization, the camera has held perfectly stable no matter how you fly. The three-axis gimbal makes complex shots and hovering for long exposure photos easy.
Yeah. No, if I had a reason and like a professional application, yeah, ding, done.
Yeah.
You know, even though the white just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I just I was just really blown away with the features you get for the price.
Right.
I mean,
my scratch build is probably, I don't know, I want to say $600, and that's just a little, you know, that thing is bits and pieces built together with the APM, which has very similar software, you know, on my tablet to what you're talking about, the app.
Mm-hmm.
But it is nowhere as refined as this thing, and I doubt even with my 3S 4000s I'm going to see 10 minutes of flight time, right?
So, right.
Like I said, they've done their homework. They know where the sweet spot is on all the equipment, and yeah, they make it work really well.
They make it hard to build one with all the features at a cheaper price. You know what I mean? It's at the price point this is at, you couldn't.
Yeah,
you can't really mirror it on your own.
Right.
You know,
right?
No matter how much we scoff at the product, and everybody goes, "Oh, another Phantom flyaway or everything." No, Frank, it's gonna. And the question is, how are they making it so affordable?
Yeah.
Right. All right. Anything else on the Phantom? Nothing. All right.
I think they kept their color scheme too, just because that's what they're recognized with. They've had a lot of fall. I mean, they already have that. That's them now. That's a signature move on their part.
All right. Let's move on to the 3D robotics solo. Again, that quad just come out last week, and everybody just went crazy over it. I've watched numerous videos, interviews, and I got to say, some of the features this thing has really blew me away, but there are a few things I don't like about it. I shouldn't say I don't like, but kind of, you know, I had mixed feelings about. But let's get into it because it is really something. First of all, they built their own type of controller, especially for this quad. And it was, from everything I read and seen everything, it was video game inspired. Mm-hmm. It's got push buttons, commands for takeoff and land. The one thing I did like about on the controller is it's got a pause button. So if you get up there and you're trying to get that shot and you hit that pause button, that thing's going to lock right there.
Well, this one, you could even start shooting, right? Like you could start the camera, stop the camera, so you're not editing through all that material. I've read that
somewhere. Yeah, you can, but you could do that with Phantom 2. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're equal on that ground.
Yeah, that pause button, you could stop midair, adjust your camera settings, do whatever you want. Also on the controller, and also in the app, but on the controller, it had the in-flight telemetry right on it. The cool thing about this is it has a lot of redundancy on it. Not only do they have a 1 gigahertz computer built into the controller, but there's also one built into the quad, and I think... from what I read, that it has, I got it wrote down here somewhere, something like three, what do you call them? Can't find it. I'll look it up when we get to it. But it's got a lot of redundancy built in, so it doesn't have any problems. Or if it gets overloaded for some reason, if you're doing something crazy, that it's not just going to shut itself down.
This seemed more open source based than the Phantom,
or not? It could be. I'm not 100% sure, because I know DJI never used to be, but now with Phantom 3, they really opened things up. Yeah. So, yeah. It has haptic feedback on the buttons, kind of like your phone does. I thought that was kind of a cool feature. Fine-grain manual mode on there, which you can really adjust things. The tilt, stop and start and stop recording. So the controller is really pretty nice. Looks comfortable. It's got good features on it. Different, that's for sure. They created their own app. Now has HD feed. Has the GPS view, kind of like the Google Earth view, if you want to go to that. In-app recording, again, kind of like the Phantom 3. You can start and stop
recording.
Inside.
Okay.
One-touch control for the smart shots, which we'll talk about those in just a second because I thought that was pretty cool. The other cool thing is you can set the speed and the agility and the altitude and everything right through that app. Preset it. And it also has buttons for the presets, whatever you want. You can choose overhead satellites and also the GoPro live feed. Yeah, I think you can turn it on and off. And you can also instantly share on social media. That seems to be a big thing right now, you know, to record your video and instantly share the... go ahead, Mike.
Didn't this have the follow and orbiting features?
It does, that's what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
It has some really cool features that I like. They're called smart shots. And depending on what you want to do and how you want to set it up.
The ultimate selfie.
Yeah. The first thing I thought was really cool was the cable cam. And what you can do with that is set your point of what you're trying to film. Go to the other end, set the other point, and then just push the button. And now you can adjust the altitude and your speed and everything during and before. And once you push the cable cam, is that quad follows that just like it's on a cable. It's at your speed and altitude and what you set. So now you don't have to worry about, hey, am I in the shot? Do I need to go higher or lower? You let the quad do its thing, and then you just work the camera, you know? So it's kind of a one-person type ordeal. The other thing I thought was really cool was orbit, only because I've tried the orbit thing with the blade a few times. It was way tougher than I anticipated. So with the orbit, again, you can adjust the radius, the altitude, whatever you want, and your speed and your direction. Once you get it set up, you hit the orbit button, and it'll instantly just completely rotate, you know, and keep fixed on whatever, you know, you had in the shot. That, to me, was another great feature. Or we could do the selfie, which was kind of cool looking. You can set it on the ground, put the camera on yourself, hit selfie, and it will back up and raise out of frame to your desired settings and then also come back in. So pretty cool feature, you know, if you're somewhere really, I guess, like, I don't know.
On top of a volcano?
Yeah, or something really cool. Yeah. Now, the thing I do really like, again, it does have a follow that works on off the mobile device. So if you got whatever mobile device and you're with the controller, say you're in a boat, and you want the solo to follow you, you hop in that boat, hit follow, no matter where you go or what speed you're going, Mike, that thing's going to follow you. That's pretty cool. And, you know, again, I think you can set the distances and everything like that. So the features of the quad, I think, are phenomenal. What they put in there and what you're getting and the redundancy. Man, I wish I could.
I wonder what the setup is for all that, though. It sounds so complicated. I don't know how looking user-friendly at it, this stuff is.
Get on their website or watch the videos. It looks very simple.
User-friendly.
Very user-friendly. I want to look for that. Thing. I don't know where it is.
I wasn't a big fan of that video with the baboons showing their product. I don't know. It's a controversy.
Oh, the intro. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know. I didn't care for that. I mean, yeah, we talked about it. If they're going for a talking piece, I guess.
Oh, here's what I was trying to find. It actually has 3 IMUs built in for reliability. So if you get one fails or one's got a problem, locks up, you got 2 others. And if that one failed, you still got another one. I thought that was a really good, something that I don't think anybody else is really doing. You know, if the Phantom's got a problem or runs into something, you're pretty much done. Let's move on to the copter then. Any questions on that or the controller or some of the features or anything? The copter itself looks really cool, well-built. It's got a built-in port for development. So for down the road, they may have products for like LEDs or talking ballistic chutes. They may even have an optical flow sensor for indoor flying like the Phantom has. So the cool thing with this copter is it looks like you can buy this copter and a year now or 2 years later, you don't have to buy another one. You're just going to keep kind of updating this one and put features on it, right? Where before with the Phantoms, it was like every year they had a different Phantom
feature that
come out.
Wanted. Yeah, like you're kind
exactly.
of in right now. That
exactly. The other cool thing, wireless updates. Any firmware, anything like that. Swappable motor pods. Now that is fantastic. You crash or you got a motor problem or whatever, pop that one off, pop the other one on, good to go.
Do they have limitations on these things? Because I know, like with Phantom and stuff, they talked about limiting around airports. Is that still all?
Yeah, I think with the DJI firmware.
I didn't read that anywhere on there, but I assume they're still going forward with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's out. I think their firmware, they're
limited.
I'm
not a big fan of the limitations, right, personally. But.
And that was one of my big concerns of buying a DJI.
Does the Solo have those limitations?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't know, though. But. And maybe we'll talk about this here in a little bit. But I'm saying but, there's no limitations. But these guys are talking about putting these in the Best Buy stores. So this is mass marketing here if these things go into Best Buy stores. Oh, yeah. We could potentially run into some problems, you know.
I like the HDMI ports now with the head plate. Goggles and stuff that has HDMI, so you can plug it in and get to high def.
Yes. Sure.
That'll be fun.
The video feed. Yeah. And I agree with you. That's one thing I really liked about that. Besides, let's see, swappable motor pod, it's got about a half mile range, so it doesn't quite have the range that the Phantom has. Yeah. The cool thing is it's fast. Thing will run 55 miles an hour.
Whoa. Oh, man. Yeah, yeah, I'll keep up with a boat then for
sure. Yeah, that thing's going to cruise along nicely. 20 minutes of flight time, so it's real close. Has the new PicHawks 2 controller board in it. Again, the 3 IMUs for redundancy. Now, here's where I have a little issues with it. Just the standard Solo, when I first seen it, it was $999. I'm thinking, oh, I'm all over it.
Yeah, but that includes things.
Now, what they did was is they worked with GoPro. So basically what this thing is built for with their gimbal and everything is a GoPro. Mm-hmm. I don't have a GoPro.
Right.
I don't want to spend $400 on a GoPro. You know, but I understand their point to where most serious people, or if you're into this, you have a GoPro.
It's a photo platform, or I mean a photography type platform.
Right,
so you're going to pay for that camera more than
likely. So you're going to spend $9.99 just for the Solo. Now, if you want the gimbal that carries the GoPro, that's an additional $400. Right. Now, if you don't have a GoPro, okay, so we go with the Hero 4, that's another $400. So you're looking at $1,800, you know, just to, you know,
yeah, get that. Yeah, the price thing. Point was definitely up,
right.
up there.
If you want an extra battery, they're a little pricey. Now you're looking at $1,900, over $1,900. Almost, you're cranking up here to almost
$2,000. Yeah, that's what I was seeing, too.
$1,350 to
$2,089.
So, yeah. That's a lot of money. That thing's almost double with the other one.
Right, right.
That's what set me off on it a little bit,
right.
in all honesty.
Exactly. To me, that's the only downfall. Other than that, the features it has and what it can do and the updating and everything, I loved it.
Yep.
I loved it. Yeah. So, and I hear through the grapevine here that Flight Test is going to get one to test out. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully we can get our hands on it, do some stuff and check it out, and we may change our mind. I don't know.
Right.
So, again, the only other thing I really like about it is there's really no need to buy a Solo 2 or a Solo 3 down the road. This thing's just...
They'll enhance that one.
Yeah, just going to keep growing onto this one, which is a great idea.
At least as far as they can go with it anyway.
Right, right. So, what do you think? Any questions, comments? What do you think, Andre?
My big thing is, why do they keep insisting on quads?
I think price point, you know, once you start, we've talked about it before, once you kind of, is that what you're asking instead of like a tricopter or a hexacopter?
Or a redundancy.
It's a cost thing. I mean, once you step up to the hex, it really
bigger
starts,
platform.
Starts bigger batteries.
More motors.
Yeah, more motors. And, you know, now you're instead of $1,000, you might double that.
And the quads are pretty stable with four. I mean, as far as stability.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for photography shots, it's a pretty stable platform.
If you lose a motor, you're done.
True.
There's no saving that.
True.
So.
Yep. You're absolutely right. So.
But, you know, if you bought it from Future Shop or a Best Buy store, you've, you know, gotten your Best Buy warranty.
You know what? That is a fantastic idea. I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, if you buy that thing and you say you spend an extra $100 on the lifetime guarantee and you go out and trash this thing, you know, how's that? I wonder how that works.
Oh, man, that's going to be interesting.
Because supposedly now that they have the flight logs with the Solo and the Phantom 3, if you run into a major problem where it wasn't your fault and you have the flight log and you send it in, they're supposed to replace them.
Wow.
So, yeah. Anything else on that?
I don't know, man. I can buy a lot of toys for that kind of money.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I agree. But I've been thinking of maybe offing the Blade and spending extra, you know, whatever for the try the Phantom.
I need to start selling some of my stuff too.
I'll
be honest,
Chris,
collecting dust movies.
Look at what Eric Monroe posted today on YouTube.
Yeah.
When they were down, what was it, the Valley of the Gods or whatever, shooting the goggles episode.
Uh huh.
He put up some raw footage on his YouTube channel, and my jaw just dropped.
Oh, really?
Just beautiful. That red rock.
Utah.
Yeah.
Out in Utah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And just, wow. You know, and so you sit back and go, I want to be able to do that once in a while.
Right. And it's just fun to tinker with. I mean, we've just been playing around and, I'll tell the quick little behind the story. If anybody follows us on Instagram, you might have seen the little Dramata FPV quad. I was by myself when I shot that. And what I did, nobody's listening to this podcast, so I'm talking to you guys. I put the Blade up in the air about, 25, 30 feet. Locked it with the GPS, set the controller down, went over, picked up the Dronimus FPV quads, flew it around, and was flying it in front of the quad.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds scary.
So that picture you see of me in the shot on that one where I'm flying, the 350 was just sitting there locked with the controller on the ground.
You're scaring me now.
No, but Mike, this is the way the stuff is. Like, on my APM quad, I technically don't need my radio turned on. I can grab my tablet and I can have complete control over the quad with my tablet only. So I can say hover, loiter, circle, go over there, come back, follow me. I've got all those features. So the radio is a backup, and you know it's another set of redundancy on this particular quad, right?
So
we were goofing around flying the other night. and we had that thing in full hover, locked in on its own.
Oh, that's right.
And Chris is doing some stuff, so we were focused on what Chris was flying, and the battery got low. And it started coming down. It doesn't crash. It starts going into landing.
Yeah.
Automatically. Yep. Didn't have to do anything. Yep. It just started cruising down. I started laughing. I go, Chris, I think the battery's
going
out.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Here it comes.
Yeah, Wayne's like, it's descending. It's descending. Yeah. I'm not doing it. And the thing just, I seen the light blinking on the back. The battery was getting low. And it just come down at a nice, gentle pace and just set itself right on the ground.
Did it come back to its home spot where it took off from, or was it another spot?
It was a different spot.
Okay, so
right,
just
I think it just came straight down.
Still, a couple years ago, that wouldn't have happened.
No,
that video of that guy that he lost his and it started coming down over the water.
Oh,
and he goes,
yes,
you see him running up the beach and over the rocks.
Yes,
oh, man.
Yeah, did you see that, Andre?
Is that the one where he jumps into the cold water to grab the cloth?
I wonder if that's what it was with his, because it was a slow descent.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was a battery.
Low battery, and it just slowly
it just started coming down.
Yep, yep.
And boy, he come booking. You could see him coming across the
beach.
If
he was 5 seconds later, that thing would have been in the drink.
He was in the water.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that one.
This guy was filming. He was like out on a big beach. Filming, there was a pier or something out there with rocks on. I mean, it was pretty, and he's up there filming, and he's got this little arrow. He's like, I'm way over here. You know, you see him in the video. Well, this quad's probably, I don't know, 100-200 feet at the most up in the air, and he's filming. It looks great. Well, next thing you know, you see very slowly and gently, you see the quadcopter start to come down, but you don't think anything of it. Next thing you know, you see this poor guy on a dead run. He's running. I mean, running as fast as he can go.
Does he have a controller in his hand running?
I don't think.
No, he set the controller.
Yeah, he set
down.
The controller down. Oh, yeah. He was in full panic mode. Mike, he comes down like around these rocks. I mean, this thing was probably a foot off the water. He jumps into the water and grabs it, and he's in the waves coming up over him. Oh, yeah, it was funny.
Save the quad.
Yeah, he did. And that reminds me of the other one we seen where that younger kid was flying over that water, and it could have been the same thing happened. The battery got low, and that thing was coming down.
Out there.
Reading
I'm showing him the video.
Oh, yeah, Mike's watching the video. He'll get a big laugh out of this because it's pretty good. And I give the guy some credit for posting it, too, you know.
Now you notice the camera goes up. Now it's going to start coming down.
I see someone running panically.
Oh, yeah. He was a full sprint.
Oh,
like,
he has to cross that barrier, too. Though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was good.
How did he not twist an ankle?
You don't care.
It's all adrenaline at that point.
This thing's coming down to the water.
Yeah.
You don't care.
Yeah, he's like, my $1,000 quad.
Oh, my gosh, he is. He's navigating over them rocks they're not there.
No, this thing's in. It's coming down its own. He's.
But I'm saying he got up on that hill and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Did he get it yet?
He just got down the rocks into the water. He's looking up. Got it.
Got it. Now watch. He's holding it up. You see the waves crashing over him. I was like, oh my gosh.
That is ultimate. That is perfect.
Yeah,
right,
he was lucky.
Wow.
And he's got a great video to
great.
Show
yeah.
for it.
Yes,
you know?
I'll say.
So let's see. How many views has this thing got right now?
That's hilarious.
1,994,000 views.
Wow.
Whoa, that thing's viral for sure.
Oh, so what happens in 6 months, Chris? I mean, are we going to be looking at, you know, Phantom 4 in a year and it'll be like, you know, 3/4 of the cost of the current one?
It's very possible. Yeah. I mean, just think it. You know,
with
a year
can't keep up with.
Yeah.
We're gonna be. Yeah, I'm gonna be sitting here looking at my APM quad, going, well, that was just, you know, it's only got a 2-axis gimbal.
that's the thing I don't like. Yeah. Is the technology is going so fast.
Look at the one you got. And just that fast.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just it with technology.
Right.
It is going so crazy fast.
Right, and the Blade come out in, I don't know, October of last year or something.
So maybe I do have to run Dara Tech right after this to keep up with
technology. Yeah.
get
your bank card out.
You got pre-order everything before it's out.
This one's pre-order.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It's pre-order now.
Features.
So,
But again, if you've got an application for it, excellent. And I have friends who do stuff commercially, and when the Inspire came out, they sold off their two Phantoms and bought an Inspire because they wanted that the Inspire to them was a better, you know, the Phantoms worked hard and did their money, but the Inspire for to them over the old Phantom 2, sorry, was a better purchase. So now whether the Phantom 3 is, you know, something they'll look at because, well, another smaller platform just in case, but.
Right.
But if you've got the application for it and it's commercially, you know, you can make money off it, do it, you know.
Yeah.
I could see our utility using this for thermography.
I
know there's other utilities.
Yeah, they're already using them.
Getting more advanced FLIR cameras and stuff out there, finding hot spots on transmission lines.
Right, but they're flying.
We scan from ground right now with all the FLIR cameras. Uh-huh. We have a thermography group, and they're really intrigued with this. And they've looked into different options trying to do this. Mm-hmm. I know. So they're still using the regular helicopters right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, with technology the way it's going, I definitely foresee that being used in our utility.
So, you know, what can we do this with a $10,000 or $12,000 high-tech, you know, hexacopter or octocopter, or should we fly a $500,000 helicopter with a guy hanging off the side of it?
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So we'll see. One thing we'll throw out there real quick, Wayne, because you sent me the link and I had to laugh, was, and I know a lot of our listeners are all around, but here in the States, we had a guy on a small little home-built autogyro. Decided he was going to fly into the lawn of our state capitol building.
Yeah, from Florida, I believe.
Yeah, from Florida. Yeah, he was from Florida.
I mean, he didn't fly from Florida. Yeah, he was from Florida.
But I had to laugh, and I watched the video, and there's all these people out looking around. Here's this old guy just cruising right along, right over, and just lands that baby right in the, you know. So Fred had a good point now. He's like, oh, the world's over with. We're going to ban all the autogyros, you know. Yeah. So if you happen to see the video, the videos out
there,
they're
pretty good. I haven't seen
the
video, but it definitely made the news.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I guess the question that always goes through my mind when I see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where do you get in life when you make a decision like that and say, "Yeah, that's a good idea."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, come on, what could possibly be going through your head where you the outcome is going to be good?
Yeah,
everyone wants like, that 15-minute of fame, I guess.
Oh, but what I did like about it, though, is it took a little bit of heat off of us and the quadcopter and the drone, all the, you know, what's going on. You know, a guy flies a full-size autogyro, you know. maybe those little drones, air quotes, drones aren't so bad, you know. So anyway. All right, one last thing we wanted to talk about a little bit is Wayne and I got our hands on the Dramata Ominous FPV drone, as they call it, sold by Tower Hobbies or from Hobbico, I should say. So we played around with them. At least I did probably, I probably burned 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 batteries through it. Flew it all around my yard, in the back. Actually, Wayne, I flew it in the house a little bit and cruised around. So, but before I say anything, and we haven't really talked, I want to hear, you know, your thoughts and suggestions and see what you thought of it.
Well, to be honest, I've only burned one battery through it so far. I haven't had the ability to get outside and fly it.
Okay.
But I didn't really like it. I just felt it was kind of clumsy. It just seemed kind of doppy, slow. And I'm not a big fan of the geared motors.
Oh yeah,
it just makes everything
noise. And right,
it's just but yeah, flying it around, it just felt a little bit doppy. It just wasn't
very precise.
No, it's not. It didn't feel like it. But then again, sometimes as I've known, is some things the more you fly it, you get the feel of it, and then you can get better at it.
Right.
But just from everything else that I fly going. My first impressions was I wasn't a big fan of it at all.
Uh-huh.
But, again, it's not a fair assessment because I've only got to fly it.
Right.
You know, I must contest, I don't think it's an indoor flyer because Chad had his TV with
it. Yeah, that's right.
I was with Chad, and he's like, go ahead, fly it. And I'm like, I'm going to stay clear of that in the house, Chad. Yeah. And then he ended up hitting his LCD TV with it, or LED TV.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yep. and I'm like, you know what? I don't think this is an indoor flyer. Yep. I could be wrong.
It's not like I said. It's not precise.
I was using the Nano FPV, so, and I was comfortable doing that in the house. Yeah. But I'm not. I wasn't going to fly as on
the Nano. I can put it anywhere in the house. But this thing, it needs a little bit of space.
Right.
So the video is over your device, but is it a dedicated remote, or is the remote into your iPhone or whatever your tablet?
You're receiving your image on your device. and it has a nice little handy clip that goes right on the controller. Now, again, okay. I'll break it down a little bit in case anybody doesn't really know about these, but they've had the regular ominous they call them drones, just a small kind of plastic quad-geared quadcopter, and they retail for about $80. Now, I've flown the daylights out of those. We had them at Rotor DR1. We flew
and see, I think that's the one Chad was flying. They put their own FPV
they have their own
camera.
But,
I do agree with. I mean, I know
after
it's different.
After bashing them and smashing them and crashing them and flying them a lot, I really got to actually like
the durability
it.
Of it.
And like Wayne said, it really isn't built for indoors. It's more for sure outdoors. But we've bashed the daylights out of them. I know the guys here at Flight Test. They're very durable. Mm-hmm. You know, for $80. Especially for somebody that wants to learn on one. One of my neighbors was intrigued by one and wanted to buy his son one for Christmas. I told him to get that because they're very durable. Yeah, you don't have to mess with them.
And which one of your neighbors is it?
Mr. Jeffrey from... Yes. Yeah.
And what was he doing at your house? Oh, yeah.
Dropping off
coffee.
Some Fedora Coffee Works Mafia Blend full bean coffee.
I still have yet to try that.
Oh, dude.
Good
Mafia
stuff.
Blend is like the best.
Yeah. So if you're looking for coffee, go check out Fedora Coffee Works. All right. So anyway, we've really bashed those things around. So when they come out with the FPV version, which has a small little, you know, the Wi-Fi camera on it, I was pretty intrigued with them. Again, we fly a lot of precise stuff and very kind of on point, you know. So with our own DX8s, DX9s, whatever. So that usually makes a big difference. So take it as it is. You have a small plastic type, almost toyish controller, 2.4 gigahertz. So you're not going to have that precise ability there. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took that into account. Now, the quad does fly good. Couple things I didn't like about it. Now, one for me, and I don't know, maybe it was just me, Wayne, I don't know if you found the same thing. The camera angle I thought on it really seemed very, like, wide, mm-hmm. which normally I would think would be a really good thing, but the problem I had was, like, trying to fly in and around stuff.
Yeah.
With the camera angle being, like, so wide, I couldn't really tell, like, how close I was to stuff. And I kept hitting a couple of my trees pretty good. Not that it did any damage. I mean, this thing really is not indestructible, but it takes a beating. So that was one problem I had. Sometimes the other problem I had is since it runs off the Wi-Fi, you have that little bit of lag. Mm-hmm. So there was a couple times where I thought looking through the device where I was must have been not where I was, technically, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And I ran into a few things. And again, I got it in the house, and I did fly it around FPV a little bit in the house, but you really had to take, you know, not like the little nano blade. Right. Mm-hmm. That thing is so small, and you know, Mike, it's very precise. You can put that thing just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. Where this one, you can't do that. You know, I could cruise around slowly through the living room and through the kitchen where the nano, I'm like all over the house, you know. The range on it I thought was pretty good. I was probably out a good football field. I was three houses down. I had no problems, anything like that. So me being a little biased and the things we fly and everything, what I did is I got one of my good friends and new to the hobby, Brian. I brought him down the house, and he already has a regular ominous drone. Mm-hmm. So I said, here's the ominous drone, but this is the FPV. I set him up, put him out on the porch, and just said, fly it and tell me what you think. So at first he had a hard time. You know, he's wants to look at the screen, but then wants to look at the quadcopter. Yes. He's up and down. I said, let's get it out a ways and we'll get it up a little bit. So he probably got up about 50 feet when it was a little open. I said, now just concentrate on the screen. Mm-hmm. So after a couple of batteries, he kind of had it and was cruising around halfway decent, but still had to kind of look back and forth. And he flew it around for a few batteries. And I said, would you buy this? Retail price is about $200. Pull it out of the box. Ready to go. I mean, you know, for somebody that's looking to maybe try and get into FPV. And he thought about it and he goes, yeah, I probably would. You know, for $200 and I can go fly around my backyard and fly FPV and go up in the trees and look at the squirrels and have fun. He said, yeah, it's worth $200. Mm-hmm. So when I look at it at that angle, you know, I think they got something.
Yeah.
You know, there's not too many things. You know, just take the Blade Nano, for instance. If you really want to fly FPV, you're still going to spend more than $200 to fly FPV. If you buy the cheap, the Hobby King goggles and buy the cheapest, setup for the goggles to fly up, and even the cheapest Fat Sharks are, what are they, Andre? A couple $100, I think.
You got it.
Yeah. So... Yeah. You know, that what you're getting, price point and everything, I thought it was pretty good. That's my assessment.
And you touched on a really interesting point, especially for people who are flying for a while and you have your own radio.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you yes. do, that is, it
that's
is,
hard.
It is very hard.
Right.
Because it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
You get so used to the weight, you're used to the precision.
Yes.
And then you hand off to something that's really plastic. And
Of
course they got to be. I mean, there's no way they're going to have that kind of a price.
Right.
So...
Right.
Yeah, I still can't fly my Proto X.
yeah, that thing's tough.
I've been flying the Proto X like crazy. I bought my buddy another one. We just got new batteries, and we fly those through the lab. I have so much fun with that Proto X. You wouldn't believe it. And I go through the wire racks. It's obviously line of sight. This isn't an FPV type of scenario, but oh my gosh, I have so much fun with that. We have a little landing paddy painted on the floor at work. It's like, oh gosh, we're trying to hover in where it doesn't click at all when you land. But they're so small, I just love that. And I've gotten really good with it. I don't want to pat myself too much on the back, but they're a ton of fun. And you struggle with those, Andre?
I was slingshot that thing into a wall like you won't believe it, but the... But then I get out with a 250 or I get out with a tricopter and
then,
I'm relaxed, and it is exactly that. It's the controller. It has
The controller is very small. There's no doubt on that Proto X, man. It's the controller, used to that.
I mean, it taught me how to unlock my left thumb because that was, but then I'm going forward. I'm rolling in a little dive to it. Next thing I know, I've hit the wall, it's just,
and then
slingshots.
The props always fly off. I think they have guards for it now, but I don't have the guards, so I have a bag of props I go through. But I love that little thing. It was I got it at Toledo for my buddy. I think it was $25 for that.
Yeah, they're doing
ready
what,
to
half
fly.
Plus. Yeah.
So that was. I think they're great.
All right.
I learned a lot of quad skills, believe it or not, on that little thing.
I mean,
I felt comfortable if I wrecked it or whatever. It wasn't a big deal. And I learned how to come back. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot of different features I never dreamed I would learn with a quad.
Right. All right, guys. What do you say? I know we were running a little long here, but I have a ton of crash stories. What do you say we run through like a couple more and then we'll get out of here? Sound good, Andre? And again, real quick before we get through these, guys, don't panic. If you sent in some crash stories, especially recently, may take us a few podcasts to get through them. I do have them. But if for some reason I did kind of goof up, I switched over phones here a while back or anything, if you did send in a crash story and it's been like maybe 6 months or 3 months or something and you haven't heard it, send it to me again because I might have. Go ahead.
I have one thing that maybe they could put on their crash stories. Maybe someone else has experienced this. I don't know if it was my configurations or what have you. But I noticed when I was flying my H-Quad, my Mobius SD card got full, and it blacked out my image completely.
Oh, really?
And I had nothing. I'm ripping off my goggles looking line of sight for
it. Really?
It happened twice to me. Now, I don't know if that's just because when the card's full, it just shuts off the video, if it's a configuration setting. Yeah. So I've made it wrap around. So I'd rather lose video than lose my plane.
Yeah.
So I did the wraparound feature. Now, I put a bigger 16-gig card, so I wasn't able to test the wrap feature on it, per se. But I'm just wondering if anyone has had wrecks with that feature, not knowing going into it, because I was committed to FPV.
Yeah.
And then I'm just, boom,
I did not know that.
I think it said SD card full, and I'm like, kept flying. I'm like, oh, it's just going to keep showing that text there.
Then it turns off.
Then the video is completely off. I'm like, oh, crap. That was an crap moment for sure for me.
Wow.
I know the GoPros and a couple of, and even the JS4000s, I can shut off the timer so it won't power off.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've just started flying with board cameras and not using.
Yes.
Do you know if the Mobius has a setting to shut off for that? Maybe it does. I don't know. I didn't research it.
I don't own one, so I've never tried. But
you've heard of that story, though. It's not just me, then. Okay.
Yep. And then
I think there might be a lot
struck
of crash stories. If anyone had similar, they might want to feed those type of crash stories, because I'm sure someone's had a crash because of that. I can't believe it.
Take your SD card.
Pardon?
put some tape over it so your SD card
doesn't pop
out
and stuff. Yeah,
I mean, that's right about that.
Wow. So I thought I'd share that because that might be a good crash
platformer.
Like, get
that's great.
There.
I did not know that.
Well, and another guy was talking to me because I was doing some wiring stuff with him, and he reported back some latency issues. It wasn't the Mobius. It was the JS again.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I noticed that. And I said, well, initially when I started off, I was flying with it. But I've switched over to board cameras on just about everything for those reasons, because if the camera powers down or it does exactly like what you said, Mike.
Oh, man.
I'm not relying on that.
Yep. I understand now.
Wow. All right. Ready for a couple more?
Sure.
Hit it.
All right. Here we go. We'll try to run through these pretty quick. This one's from Hunter Herbert. He says, hey, Chris, love the podcast. Sorry to share a crash story with you. Guys, it contains a couple of crashes. Well, it's actually 1.5 crashes, but anyway, here it goes. I've been looking at a 70mm EDF jet with retracts for an affordable price and ended up with a Hobby King T45 70mm EDF kit installing retracts myself. So I threw all the electronics in from a previously crashed jet in the T45. The first thing I noticed that it was way underpowered, as the typical EDFs are. So I thought to myself, I did some shopping and came up with, oh my gosh, he came up with a 3,000 watt Dr. Mad Thrust 2900 kV in runner motor on a Chang Sun 12 bladed fan running on 4 cells. I know what you're thinking. This can't end well.
Nope.
On this setup, I measured almost 4,000 watts of power and 120 amps on an 120 amps on an 85 amp speed controller. This was problem one. Yes. What'd you think?
Oh my gosh.
This ESC also had an internal 3 amp BAC, which ran my receiver. Keep that in mind. 3 amp BAC. And all my servos, as well as all my retracts. Each one pulled about 1.5 amps each. Problem number two. So, on the next flight, I taxied out to the runway, took off, retracted the gear. This is where things went downhill. Remember that 3-amp BEC? Well, each retract pulls 1.5, and there are three of them, which is almost 5 amps. With that being said, while the retracts were retracting, it pulled too many amps from the BEC, causing the whole system to shut down and leaving the jet controlless. And plummeting towards the ground at full throttle, ending in a loud thud that I will never forget. But the story is not over, as I continue my journey buying a second T45 kit and a 150-amp ESC with an external 10-amp BAC, which seemed to solve my problems. Except, I now had to put some Oleo gear on the retracts to add with the scaleness of it. This is at the 0.5 part of the crash. But I don't think it's even considered a crash, but more on the edge of one day I was coming into land and I had set up for a perfect approach, angle, and speed. But the moment the gear touched, I realized that the set screw on the oleos were not tightened down all the way, which means as soon as the gear touched down, it sent the plane spiraling down the runway on all three gear, looking like an office chair.
I laughed so hard when you used the office chair analogy.
The office chair spinning down the runway. That is a great analogy. I immediately started laughing as the plane kept spinning for about 200 yards until it finally came to a complete stop. It left me with another challenge, trying to taxi it back.
I think I would have did the walk of shame on that.
Happy flying, Hunter Herbert.
Oh,
that was pretty
gosh.
Funny.
Yeah, that would be a sight to see. All of a sudden it starts, you know, crab walking down the highway.
Yes.
Down the taxiway. Oh, my.
Okay. One more. This is from Keith Westfall. He says, I'm almost current with my FTN After Hours podcast, but yesterday I had a pretty cool interaction with some of the neighborhood kids. This story. I finally got all my parts between FT and Paul at Ready to Fly Quads to build my first tricopter. I finished last weekend at 3 a.m. Sunday, then woke up at 7:30 a.m. to made it. Needless to say, I'm hooked. This thing is an absolute blast, and a plug to the FT Electro Hub wooden booms, which are easy to replace. As a beginner, gets ones that break easily and save your electronics. Good point. Fast forward to Thursday after work. I'm on my way home to stop the park to dial in my manual modes while some of the kids on the other side of the park were firing model rockets. They launch right before I take off, and I don't think much of it because they do this a couple times a week. I see them on my way home from work, and they do so, and they're very psyched every time they launch. I'm hovering my tricopter when I overhear one of them say, "Well, let's just ask him." So I'm thinking these boys are curious about my tricopter. I hear them walking over and decide to land just to be safe. I was having issues with my front right motor, so I didn't want anything crazy to happen around the kids. The smallest boy in the group steps up and asks, "Sir, we'd like to launch model rockets, and we've just launched one into that storage facility over there," and he points over the fence into the park. "Does your drone have a camera on it so we can see where it went?" I definitely had a lot of mixed emotions, but told them sorry, and if they see me flying in a couple weeks, I should have a camera by then. So they were pretty crushed. I had mixed emotions because these kids don't care or even know what's going on with the model and aviation politics. It just made me happy that these 10 to 12-year-olds saw the utility of the machine. I know this is long, but it really hit home with all the BS going on with the drones and how these kids are not afraid of a drone. Don't worry, I still refer to them as multicopters. Keep up the great work and take care. Keith. So, yeah, that is kind of interesting. You know, that a 12-year-old kid doesn't look like the, it's this scary flying thing. They're like, what can we do with this thing?
Yeah.
That was a good story. I like that, Keith. All right, I can see. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more that we were going to attempt to do tonight, but I think we're running out of time, and my voice is getting shot. So next time, we'll get them on next time. Right. What do you think?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out. Still got some stuff to review. We still have been flying the Park Zone Night Vision Air. I still got to get some batteries through there. I'm not totally happy with the tests we've had yet. So, and also, I got to get Wayne in the air with it. And Mike. No, Mike. Mike shaking his head. No. No. So we should have do a
you
review
could hear
on
the rocks rattling, right?
We'll have a review on that soon. So we're still working on that, and we should have some exciting stuff coming up here in a couple weeks. We thank you guys all for joining us and hanging out and listening to us ramble for an hour and a half. But we enjoy it. We
good
love
bench talk.
Yeah, good bench flying. Yeah. Thank you, Andre, again for coming on. You seem to be a pretty good fit for the after hour show. We enjoy you coming on.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
And other than that, we're going to get out of here, and we will be back in a couple weeks. Follow us on Instagram at FTE After Hours. If you have any crash stories or questions, comments, concerns, anything else, shoot me an email at chris@flighttest.com. Other than that, we will see you in a couple weeks. All right,
see
we're out of here.
Bye.
See ya.